So, wait, what? Alright, Lane's not here. Lane, what did you think of the episode?
Well, I just loved everything about it. I'm Lane. Derp, derp, derp. Look what I bought.
That's mean.
Lane's gonna be mad.
That was a poor impression of him. You didn't even use a toy.
Where is Lane?
He's in Cuba.
I miss him.
I think you mean Zooland.
He's get it. He's in Cube. He's found the portal to Zooland. It's in Cuba. It makes sense now that I think about it. Cue the roll call.
We're live. Zenkai Gan.
Broadcast. Loading.
Connect.
Watching all the anime. Redcaster. Show Raven.
Equipment Wielder, Bluecaster, Cheetah's Azeel.
Explorer from the Unknown, Yellowcaster, Autogar.
One Little Spark of Courage, Dreamcaster, Global South Perga.
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet.
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
On air!
Yay. Welcome to episode 131 of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
Guys, I'm not used to so much space on this couch. Usually Lane sits here.
So just sprawl your fucking ass all over that couch then.
Yeah, just lay down and have someone draw you like one of them French girls.
Herp.
Wait. Fucking no.
And now I need my eyes gouged out. Just a little bit.
Says someone that has glasses.
Yep. And I'm getting better glasses, too.
Well, you know what?
Yes, I do know what.
We're talking about X8 Episode 9, Zoodra Episode 40, and
Week 2 of Decasember the 2nd.
Yes.
It's the second week of the 2nd December of Deca. It's
2 out of 3. So, in which we're talking about Episode 32 and 33, and 36 of Tokuso Sentai Decaranger.
Yay.
So, Ichi, lead us into X-Aid.
So, we got more movie clips in the opening this week, including a giant actual Pac-Man monster.
Dude, yep. We've known about that for months.
No, I know, but like the versions we've seen have been like the evil fangy face, except this time we saw actual Pac-Man face.
Oh, yeah, when he's going through the whole entire building, they're like running away from it.
No, not that. Like, Dr. Pac-Man is standing there with, like, his arms out, and behind him is a giant actual Pac-Man face. Mm. That was creepier than the evil face.
Is this pixels?
Yes.
That's the joke.
Pixels done right.
That's the joke.
Oh, fuck. I hope Adam Sandler doesn't show up.
Just Adam Sandler shows up, and then he gets attacked.
Adam Sandler shows up with a gamer driver.
Yep.
And Shin. Oh, yeah. I'm a Kamen Rider. Look at me.
You can do it!
No, why did you foul as a Kamen Rider?
What's your name? I'm a Kamen Rider! Die, Henshin!
I kinda just a little bit wanna die right now. Just saying.
Tadu Quest!
I just wanna go die now.
Wait a minute, I got the best one.
I don't.
Kiri Chamba! Wubba Bubba!
Please, someone kill me.
It's funny, that's how, Ichi, your response is basically everyone in high school.
Hooray. So the other thing they added to the opening this week was the level 3 forms during the little bit where they're all fighting each other. That was cute.
I like it, but nothing beats the original opening.
You know what, I had an idea while I was watching the opening. You know the last part of the song where it's like it counts up 1, 2, and 3 on each line? During that, they should show, like, all the level 1s, then all the level 2s, then all the level 3s. I really hope that's what they're building towards.
That would be cool.
So, the actual episode, we get to formally meet Dr. Hinata Kyotaro, who is the surgeon who saved Emu as a child.
Or did he?
Dun, dun, dun.
We can pretty much already figure out what happened.
He gave him the surgery to let him become a Kamen Rider.
That's probably what happened.
He was probably the experiment for it.
Which, as of this episode, we found out entails that it apparently requires a small amount of Bugster to be implanted into them.
We also
found... It's like a vaccination.
So, here is our connection for X-Aid for using the powers of the monsters to fight the monsters. This is how we connect that show to that trope. Mm-hmm. So they've got a tiny dose of Buckster inside them in order to use the gamer drivers to fight the Buckster.
But we also found out that Hero took or had the surgery 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see here. There was Taiga, who okay, if anything, Hero got it first 16 years ago.
Well, did Hero get it 5 years ago or 16 years ago?
16. Or, sorry, Emu got it 16 years ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was probably the first experiment of it.
Taiga, then Dan, Hero 5 years later, and then 3 years ago was Kiria.
Yeah.
So basically, over the course of the years, they all got in the surgery. But I recognize someone. Mm-hmm. Emu's like Hinata something?
Hinata Kyotaro is the ministry leader guy.
I found out he was in Ultraman Ginga, and where he was originally supposed to be the antagonist of Ginga until they rewrote the story.
Okay.
So yeah, he was in Ginga.
Did you guys notice, I don't know if we've seen them before, but I noticed for the first time that little, the room where they keep the patients in CR, on the side of that panel are fucking arcade buttons and joysticks.
Yes, yeah. It's a fight stick.
I know.
It's like, I saw that too today, that episode. I was like, oh, hi there.
Yeah, that is the first time we actually see that happen. It's like, oh, okay.
So while I was doing some Wikipedia research on X8, I found out that the monsters that manifest that they fight the level ones as the level ones with, mm-hmm. apparently the classification of that form of Buckster is called a Buckster Union.
Huh.
So we don't just have to call them like the manifested forms or whatever.
Well, it makes sense. A Buckster Union?
Union of the Buckster and the patient.
Yep.
Well, I was going to say because like all the tiny little Bugsters, you know, like, also form that. Into the...
Also that. So, the union this week is a fucking dragon. Because this is the Drago Knight Hunter Z episode.
Is it Shenron?
No, it's...
Not really, it's a Western dragon.
It's Monster Hunter. Whatever the final boss is in Monster.
It, whatever the fuck dragon is called.
Oh!
Which one? There's plenty.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
He's the Shadow Dragon from GT.
No, you know what it is? It's the D-Ragon from Phantasy Star Universe.
Yep. That one.
Or it's his Haruto finally unleashing his phantom.
I like how during the shot in the CR room, Hero and Emu both henshin, but it's like slightly delayed, so we get like two henshins kind of in a row after each other.
And now I'm already bored of the double henshin in this series.
I wouldn't even call that a double henshin, it was more like a staggered. But anyways... So apparently Graphite uses the proto Drago memory on him, or it's funny that I said memory because he used
exactly
the gashit on himself like a Gaia memory.
Stab it
into a chest. Stab it right in the heart.
Is that how this shit works now? It's just Gaia memories?
Just Shotaro shows up. I got this.
Oh man. And Dan gets to be a grade A dickweed to Taiga because he walks in and first of all tells him, please stop breaking into our fucking building. And then proceeds to talk about the 10th gashit. Oh, so who's getting that one?
Not you! And then Taiga's like, I'm gonna take it from you. It's like, it's not even complete. You gotta defeat the boss.
Yeah, this is interesting. The gashit's not complete yet. They have to capture more data from the dragon union monster. Basically, it's catch the Pokemon.
Mm. Dan also mentioned that it's a multiplayer game.
Yeah, because it's Monster Hunter.
It's Monster Hunter, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very interested to see how they're going to actually split the powers up.
I think they're all just going to use it separately.
I doubt
it
because...
pass it between each other?
I'm wondering if maybe like he pushes the button a certain way and it like spawns copies for them. I don't know.
Well, there's one that lets him spawn a copy of himself coming up later, so that...
Yeah, so who knows?
Too weird.
One thing I noticed that was really off-putting, just besides the fact that Hero is a contemptible dick this whole episode, he kind of falls short, like, in proper fighting technique, because he fights Graphite with his level 1 form, even though that's nowhere near what you're supposed to do.
Well, they even mentioned in the episode that Hero's been acting, or, sorry, not Hero, Emu has been acting, you know...
Super emotional? Because
weird.
It's because he wants to... he feels that he has to be the one to save the Doctor who saved his life so he can repay the favor. But while Hiro is chiding him for acting emotionally, he's doing the same fucking thing by being super angry at Graphite, which he then gets shoved back in his face. And instead of owing up to it, he just backs off and he's like, I'm out!
You know what? You're right. I'm out.
That's what main characters do.
That's what Hiro did.
Because Hiro wanted to use the Dragon Knight Hunter Gashat to defeat Graphite so that he can get his revenge.
Emu, stop being emotional. What about you, jackass? You know what? You're right. I'm out.
Which I guess is kind of a preferable response. So,
one thing I did enjoy about this episode, all the characters so far in this episode had a purpose.
Yep.
Like, Poppy didn't really have a purpose except for being adorable.
Apparently her purpose was to get Dr. Hinata changed.
Yes, that was her purpose in the
that
episode.
That was upsetting to hear, but I guess.
But basically, she had a purpose. Kiria, like, is trying to find information on Emu.
Yeah.
And his surgery that happened 16 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
There's Hiro's father still trying to connect to him.
And doing a piss-poor job of it.
Yeah.
Not his fault, though.
Taiga's trying to figure shit out.
Taiga's just like, is the gadget ready? Can I steal it? No? Fuck!
Fine, I'm gonna use your level 3 gadget in my gun.
Oh, yeah, that was amazing how he did Geki Tot's critical finish, and it just shoots a fist!
Yeah, it shot the fist!
Talk about extreme fisting.
I didn't know that was a thing they could do, but I guess there's no reason why they wouldn't be able to?
Yeah, it's not even the first time, because last week, I think, Eggsaid put Boxo Bike in his hammer and did Boxo Critical Finish with the Breaker. I'm really glad they're doing that, and I hope they do more. I want Snipe to put Doremi Fa Beat in the gun and just snipe them with musical notes. Just a treble clef through the throat.
Just, I am the true sound wave.
Sure.
It'd be like the shoot 'em up game from Rhythm Heaven.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's fine. The other cool thing that happened this episode was Eggsaid steals Brave's Gashikan sword.
Oh my goodness, that was hilarious.
And proceeds to do Mighty Tattle Critical Finish on a fucking ice slide up towards the dragon.
Yeah, because basically Taiga's fighting in jet combat against the dragon. Emma was like, I need to hit this thing. Brave just shows up. Gimme. Makes an ice bridge, charges up it, and then just slashes the dragon into four pieces.
And I just laughed my ass off. When he was done with the sword, he just gently tosses it up and just knocks it the fuck aside.
Yeah, with his sword?
With his fist. And I just imagine, he hit Brave with the sword.
Here! Like,
ow! You jerk! I thought I was an asshole!
And then, okay, there's one thing that bugged me. When Emu did use the Dragon Knight Hunter Gashat, location suddenly changed without a stage selection.
You noticed that too? I totally noticed that.
They were in a forest,
and now they're,
on a mountainside.
Yeah.
Wait. Did I miss a intermission or something?
Here's my theory on that. You know how whenever they activate a Gashat, the level appears?
Mm-hmm.
I think that mountaintop is Dragon Knight Hunter Zed's level.
Because we do see it in the next episode.
Yeah.
It's a pretty dragon hunter-y, monster hunter-y place.
Exactly.
Oh, well, maybe it's a boss. Maybe it's like a boss thing.
Maybe.
Since it's the most powerful, it has its own stage.
Oh, one other thing I noticed. The second time Graphite uses the Dragon Knight Hunter gashit on himself, the prototype version, it says Zed. It's not supposed to say that.
Oh, because it's not the Zed version?
No, it's Dragon Knight Hunter. Even though the artwork has the Zed on it, when he used it the previous two times, it was just Dragon Knight Hunter.
And then when Emu uses it, it does say Zed.
Which it should, but my point is, when Graphite used it for the second time in this episode, it said Dragon Knight Hunter Zed.
Well, obviously he used an Action Replay or Game Shark.
He's fucking hacking!
Dragon Knight Hunter GT.
That's the name of the episode. Graphite is a hacker.
Okay, when I said everyone had a purpose in the episode, Pallad didn't have a purpose in the episode.
He was there to watch and laugh.
Gee, sounds like someone we know. Michi!
What?
In guy,
say Michi?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if you were saying Michi or Ichi, and I'm like, please tell me if I should be angry.
I thought he did
say. I said Michi.
Okay.
Because in some of the few episodes of Guy, Michi would just be in the office while everyone else did shit.
Mm-hmm.
And when the white overlord, I can't remember his name right now.
Roshiro?
Yeah, when Roshiro, like, vanished.
Or as he's known in Cast Ranger, Roshiro Obama.
Yeah. Basically, when he wiped out all the nukes, Michi's just on the floor in his office, laughing ass off.
I love maniacally. I love that scene. Anyways, so we get a shot of Exade, Hunter Action Gamer, level 5, full dragon.
And he can't use it for shit.
Because he tried to pile all the powers on himself instead of spreading it around like it's supposed to, he fucking goes ballistic and almost burns everyone to a crisp.
Yeah, it's just static all around him, sort of a...
But the odd thing is when he dehensions and falls out of it, I don't know if we're supposed to interpret it this way, but it looks like he's by himself. So is, like, the stage still there? Are the rest of them still in it?
Yeah.
Quite.
It's like...
Where are they?
He glitched the game. They're stuck there.
They're trapped inside the game. If you die in the game, you die for real.
All right, I'm just going to leave that tabbed. Not like this.
So, next week, we get the rest of the level 5 forms hunting Graphite. That'll be cute.
They all defeat him, and it's like, what do we do now?
Well, go home and play video games.
Cowabunga? Cowabunga! Cowabunga! And then Hero's dad just shows up, I made a funny! And then Graphite just shows up, but then a dam just falls on him.
Just instantly dies. So, that's Exade. Let's talk about the Lion Ranger. So the monster of this week is a fucking Gakuran-wearing street punk with a pompadour. Yep.
What else is new?
And apparently he's hunting britches. Pants. Yeah.
Pants.
Yes, he's taking pants on the ground.
I just saw that and I'm just like, you don't fucking say!
Actually, one...
Please, tell me more!
Shocking thing about this monster... You know who he's voiced by? Because I told you before we started recording.
Uh-huh.
Who is it? Because I can't remember his name.
I don't either.
The Green Overlord.
Oh, Red Away.
Yeah, Red Away from Gaim. The VA for Red Away is this pompadour motherfucker.
His name is Kilmensh.
Kilmensh. And of course, no surprise anymore, he's a part of Team Azold.
Because he's a bruiser.
Is it me or is Team Azold just like filled with... dumbasses.
That's the point. Yeah. So,
the coolest one.
His team is the brute force, and the other team is the strategy.
Yeah. So, Leo finds him, and they get into a dick-measuring contest and fight a bit. And then we get
by each other.
Yeah. We get the whole trite trope where they punch each other in the face.
Some, like, JoJo shit.
And then there's a subplot with the kid who is getting bullied by a bunch of Gakuran punks and they're taking his money.
For some reason, he knows these people.
Yeah, and they've been doing it a lot.
They're way older than him.
Yeah.
The thing should have been he's trying to be one of them, but they're treating him like shit, but he doesn't care.
Yeah.
So... Is that what's going on?
No, that's what I would have wrote.
That's what it should have been. But, when we go up to Azald in the Sagittariarch, we find out the reason that this monster is hunting britches. Apparently their line of logic was, go scare the pants off the humans. I don't think that was supposed to be literal!
It was always supposed to be literal.
Oh my god.
Also, the boy calls Leo Aniki?
Yeah, because he's training him.
It's a classic gangster.
Gangster slang.
Oh.
It translates roughly to big bro, but it's like, yeah, I respect you. You're awesome. You're my big bro. You're my Aniki.
Okay. I didn't understand that.
Man.
It's in lots of anime.
I don't watch anime. You should know that by now.
Well, fix
he
that.
He watches all the anime, so he...
Oh, yeah.
Actually, whatever happened to that pin that I gave you?
It's still at my place.
Okay. Is that back, please?
Yeah, I guess.
They stopped making them because their group is over.
What pin?
Okay, it's a pin where it's like instead of Pokemon, it says anime. Gotta watch them all.
That's pretty good.
But since the music group, sorry, I'm derailing.
It's okay.
So while Leo is training this kid June, the most amazing thing ever happens.
Okay, no.
Evan has the best.
When they started the training montage, I was sitting there like in the back of my head, like just Eye of the Tigers playing in my head. And I'm just like, yeah, but they aren't going to do that in this show, though. They can't do that in this show. And all I hear from the speakers on my computer is just, dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. And fuck! Like, wait! What?
They actually did it. I am Ryan.
Sort of did it.
They did the thing where they changed around enough notes so that's legally distinct.
They changed it just enough so it's recognizable, but not copyright infringement as per Japanese law.
So it's what we all decide to call Eye of the Lion.
The Eye of the Lion. You know what? Where's the Gowranger singer for this episode? He should have made a cameo. Hell, he should have been the voice of the villain.
Oh, Yamagata Yukio?
Yes!
That would have been awesome.
Oh, yeah, it would.
Just that moment where Leo thinks, I'm going to train him the way lions train their cubs, by throwing him off a cliff!
You've seen Lion King too many times.
That doesn't end well.
This is a legit thing.
That's like, Aniki, what are you doing?
Long live the king.
Pretty much.
Just he's fallen, that me sounds just, no!
And it was around that point that I just started thinking, where are this kid's parents?
Go to the police!
But no.
He's an orphan, didn't you know?
Little children.
At this point, with the amount of kills that the fucking Death Galleons have had, that could be the case.
Probably.
No, it's like, he took my allowance. Yeah, I didn't get my drink of orphan tears today.
Guess I'll have to make my own. So, apparently...
Freshly squeezed.
They run through all the usual tropes of training, running a marathon, drinking eggs, somehow having karate gis.
No, they didn't do the one thing, though.
Running upstairs?
Yep. They didn't do the Rocky thing.
That would have been great. Oh my, and then, like, he starts trying to roar like a lion, and
running in a field with things behind you.
Well, they ran along that path where there was field on either side, so I guess that's pretty close.
The generic training place that Toei uses.
It's also the same place where Forze stole the belt from his past self.
Oh, yeah, it was. where the fuck's Forze? He was the original Pompadour motherfucker.
Yeah.
Doesn't need to appear in this episode because the character is dead.
Yeah.
Fine.
So the kid goes back to confront the bullies, and I like how all the Zoogers are like, pretending to hide off on the side of the door, but the shot where you see from the bully's perspective, you can clearly see all of them standing there, completely obviously.
It's like last week.
And they don't acknowledge them at all.
It's like last week when they did the generic head on top of each other thing while looking on the other side of the wall.
Yep. And then something else amazing happens. While the kid is trying to scare the bullies, Leo gets lured from the sky!
On a string! On
Misao's fishing pole! Yes. And just goes full lion on their asses!
I was watching this in a restaurant, and I just cracked up, and I had to explain to my parents what was so funny, so...
It was amazing!
That was pretty cool.
But then, my favorite part happened. Basically, Leo scared the teens...
You could say he scared the pants off them. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
And where they all ran, except for, like, their leader, but in which the boy, I can't remember his name, Jiro?
June?
Yeah, June.
It was June, yeah.
Yeah, June was about to, like, brutally, like, punch
him in the face. Not that it probably would have done much damage.
Well, Leo's like, whoa, what are you doing? I'm getting payback. Yeah, but...
You're not supposed to.
Which is funny, because not 10 minutes later, he's... getting payback on the monster with the Megazords.
Yeah. Well, basically, you know, Leo's kind of ashamed of June due to the fact that he hasn't gotten stronger if he's going to punch his enemy.
Well, the point is more along the lines of,
he's already down, what are you doing?
Exactly.
It's like an Ender's Game where Ender just keeps beating the bully. It's like, what are you doing? I won the first war. I'm making sure that I win the rest of them. And he just keeps beating up the kid. Because, you know, he kind of has a point. If you don't want to mess with me, just keep punching him.
So, of course, they have a falling out, and then Kubar hands the kid a fucking power glove in by way of a clone of the punk leader.
And it really looks like a cosplay prop someone just made.
Yeah.
Like, man. They painted
any foam. Any cosplay prop maker could easily duplicate that.
Even Wayne?
Sure.
See if Wayne can make it.
Sure. And then when he confronts Leo to fight him because he doesn't agree with him, he pretty much pulls a Kevin McAllister where he just screams loudly and shrilly and just runs right at him straight forward.
Kevin McAllister?
Home Alone.
Yeah.
Oh. We left Kevin at home! Hey, he's 37!
Wasn't that from Futurama?
No, it's from The Critic.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Close.
Oh!
When June punches Leo with the power glove, it basically electrifies him so that it kind of hurts him.
Let's see how many stupid references we can cram in here.
I loved power glove.
It's so bad. So
Leo Lane. Okay, he doesn't have one.
Lane doesn't have much to say this week.
What about AC Caster?
Air Caster.
What does Lane have to say about that?
I love Leo!
Yeah, that sounds about right, Evan.
So Leo goes down, but he gets up again. You're never going to keep him down.
Never going to give you up. Never going to let you
that
down.
That wasn't the joke, Gar.
And then he pretty much Shoryukens the monster. We get barely any roll call when the rest of the team shows up.
Because, fuck it, we're on episode 40.
And then they strike the monster so hard, or Leo hits him with his head so hard that he bowls through everyone and bends his fucking metal pompadour.
Mm-hmm.
That was funny.
And then they kill him.
Then they just do a final everyone at once.
Yeah, I'm starting to notice a pattern with all these episodes after Bangre. Monster shows up, things happen, monster shows up again, fight, Zua Whale, final cannon. Boom.
That's kind of the formula for Sentai in general.
Yeah, but you're right. It really went into high gear after the Bangre thing.
Yeah.
So, at this point, we start getting some more villain plot, because Naria is not in the Sagittari arc, but she's already down because she's been investigating Kubar, does her job, fingers the slot, whatever. And then we get an interesting little confrontation between her and Kubar.
Before that, I at least want to mention something about the Megazord fight.
Oh my god.
It was.
What do you have to say about.
The Pompadour monster tried to beat the Megazord with a stick.
Yeah. A floppy stick.
And it didn't work for him.
But it was funny how the Zoogers were like.
Is this seriously it?
You know what was funny? How after that attack, they decided, you're not worth our Ultra Zord, so they bust out Zuo King Octopus.
Because...
Or rather, Leo forces them to, and they're all having trouble keeping up with him.
Oh god, it just occurred to me.
And just blast it apart suddenly, and they're all just like, what?
It's an octopus.
He's
Takoyaki Bomber.
He's been calling Leo Octopus the entire fucking episode.
Well that...
So he's like, I'll show you an octopus!
Right?
But still, I'm just noticing... Are you sure it's not a joke to Necrom how the octopus is green?
I'm sure that was possibly an underlying thought.
Maybe a thing, who knows? Maybe we should have brought that up back when it was when it was shown first time?
Maybe we did.
We might have. It wasn't important.
But yeah, he's dead, and then villains.
So
yeah, Naria does her thing, makes it grow, blah blah blah, stuff happens. Then she wanders off to go see what Kubar is up to.
Discovers he's got Bungley's powers.
Yep. And immediately decides she's going to take him out.
And gets point blank to the face.
It doesn't go so well for Naria.
Oh my god.
Steps on bombs. And...
Which, the best part of that is that he didn't kill her. He purposely just knocked her out.
So he
could sample her memories. And who knows what the fuck is in her mind?
I'm excited to find out.
All the pizza.
All the pizza!
Yes. Being Genesis' assistant, and probably the one who's been by his side the longest, holy shit, the amount of shit she probably has in those memories.
Yep.
She has some of some more of Kubar's planetary relatives in there?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, you never know.
But
I definitely
it's
think
more like I think because the preview showed us that he's rather monsters. Obviously pulling his thing and finally being rather overt about his rebellion against Janus.
Even though Janus seems to know but not give a shit.
Oh yeah.
Because
now he's admitting it out loud now, and it looks like next week his plan's kicking into high gear.
But then he dies because Janus knows, dude,
this
you're
even,
done like that.
This isn't even my final form.
Right?
Yeah, we've seen it in Toy Scans.
But, no, I think what he's pulling out of Narya's memory is some form of weapon that Janus had in the past that he thinks could potentially beat Janus. Otherwise, he wouldn't be trying.
It's another gift.
Here's the thing. No.
It's a Christmas gift.
What?
Oh my god!
No.
That could be it!
What has Narya done throughout this whole entire series?
Be a fucking badass and make monsters grow?
What was the second thing you just said?
Make monsters grow.
So what do you think she has in her memory?
A lot monsters. Of fucking giant monsters.
Yes. Because in the preview,
yeah,
we see a bunch of old monsters shows up.
Dude,
though.
Seriously though? It didn't have to be Narya.
True. But I mean, who else is going to sample to get them?
Because
Azald?
Because we see him in the preview.
Yeah,
though.
But if he samples Azald, he's going to know something's going on.
Yeah, but
I don't know.
In this case, I think it's more likely he's going to pull something out of their past, potentially a weapon that Janus used to destroy Kubar's planet.
Possibly.
Or the Janus in the episode preview next week isn't the actual Janus, it's Janus pulled from Narya's memories.
Maybe.
And Kubar's gonna sick Janus on himself.
That's
Ooh.
Actually interesting.
Maybe.
Dude, that would be like if Galvatron fought Megatron.
Kinda.
That kind of thing, man. That would be awesome.
Cool.
Hopefully next week we see a bunch of stuff.
Next week we are getting Shin Genis.
Shin Genis.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're actually reaching the end,
well,
of, the,
yeah, you're
end
right.
of the series.
So.
Well, let's see here.
Final villain
it was
needs
like
to happen.
2 seconds ago that it just started.
Right? Q Rangers starts February 17th, so we still
yes, we
got
about a month and a half.
So,
2 months, really.
So we got around like
8 episodes, maybe, if you don't count the breaks they're going to take around the holidays.
We're not going to have a Christmas break, but we're having a New Year's break.
So about 7 episodes, realistically.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense, because Sentai usually runs around 47 to 50
yeah,
episodes.
Exactly. So we got about 7 episodes left, so final villains gotta start happening anytime soon.
And what better way than episode 41?
Yep. Alright.
December!
So, as we mentioned, this week we're talking about episodes 32 and 33, which were the debut of Swap Mode, and episode 36, which is the appearance of Deca Swan.
Yay.
So, episode 32 starts off by introducing us to the two brothers, Sanoa and Zataku, who are hoarding some rare material called Gutanium, which by the end of that episode we were calling Gymnasium.
Gymnasiums.
Well, I just misread it as that for some time.
Oh, no, they
kept saying it so much that it was just like, okay, we get it, that's what it's called, stop.
Elf in this.
I just like how Samoa's like summoned giant robot button was apparently behind his head, so when he had his hands up behind his head, he pushed it.
Oh, genius.
That's kind of smart for a villain.
Yeah. There was commentary from them like, Bon Bon, you're like way too excited today. And the rest of us were just like, that's how he is all the time.
Yeah, this is no different from usual. He's excited. We get it.
That's like.
Also, you said he's excited because he called the robot really quick. Excuse me, there was a giant robot already attacking the city. You needed to call it one way or the other.
Yeah.
Get fucking used to
it. Or you could pull a Carter Grayson and just charge at it.
So, pretty much the idea with Bon Bon these couple episodes is he's become really fixated on becoming the number one space patroller in the universe.
Yeah.
Why? Because a kid died in his hands
and
asking
that was
for that
kid's
wish.
Dream, so he's going to fulfill the kid's dream.
Kid's dream and replace him?
Yeah,
well,
the
kid's already dead, so he's really just fulfilling the dream for him.
I have seen the ending of Deca Ranger. I know what happens.
Don't say it.
Oh, it's not that.
Say it.
It's not that.
Oh.
Okay.
In fact,
he just becomes a dick.
He becomes Hokage.
What?
Kinda.
We know what happens. He joins the fucking Fire Squad.
Exactly.
Like, we saw the
He joins other
Red
Rangers.
Ranger movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You didn't mention that in
the movie. That was in last year.
Magi merch.
All right. So, when the really interesting...
I thought that was Deck December last year.
No.
The really, Magi March makes more sense.
What I thought was the most interesting part of this episode is we see Aberrera, who is Doomwing and Decker Ranger, give the two monsters basically henshin bracelets called Muscle Gear.
Am I the only one that knows it's like the Amazon's armlet with one silver, one gold?
Kind of. Reusing props.
Silver and gold.
I mean, we have to save the budget somewhere.
So Taku fights the Decker Rangers with his brand new muscle suit and kicks their asses, including punching both female Rangers in their chests, oddly.
Because we can do... Because if Scheider Next Generation can, you know, grope someone, then why can't this?
So, and then we see Aberrera like, yes, good, this can defeat the Decker Rangers. I can sell this. And then he flies away and just, off to the marketing firm!
I'm starting to notice that Aberrera can, like, I think that's
Aberrera.
His... Yeah, he can Aberrera. Just, he can teleport at will, but he just chooses to fly the fuck away half the time.
It's more exciting.
Well, not even that, but, like, it's also a notice that, you know, his goals in these three episodes... is to get rich.
Which, yeah, is kind of more in line with what I remember of Doomwing from SPD, where he was just, like, the weapons merchant.
Yeah, and the Fink, he's our big baddie of the season.
Is he?
Yeah, there is no one else.
Well, this Hops versus Robin, I guess, sort of thing, so...
Like,
yeah, he just shows up, sells shit, makes his money, and then shit gets fucked up and he runs. Yeah.
Actually, you know what? That's one thing I want to bring up. SPD kind of did something better than Decker Ranger did. Actually having a main villain. Because, yes, we do have Aberrera, or Aberrera.
Aberrera.
I always called him Umbrella.
Rabble.
That's it. His name's Umbrella now.
That's it. It's Umbrella. Because that's why I always called him Umbrella. In which, basically, he's the only reoccurring villain throughout the series.
Interesting. So Grum was just completely original to SPD.
Yes.
That's cool.
Sort of made him up?
Yeah. It's like Sledge and Dino Charge. Completely original.
So because the muscle suit is a genuine threat, they send the Rangers to Planet Kata to learn SWAT mode.
And thus the training arc begins, I suppose.
Yes.
Do-do-do,
thus do-do. The two-episode training arc begins, which, oh man, there's a lot of training montages today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just...
Ugh.
So we get
need something to make this one unique. Gorilla?
Monkey Man.
It's a gorilla!
Who looks like fucking Ganondorf!
Yep.
His own dog!
Instructor Bunta. And yes, he has his own robot dog, a version of Murphy named Clarence K9.
Emily brought this up, and it's actually hilarious. He drives around in a regular-ass Jeep.
Yep.
It's a Jeep Wrangler, it says right there. On the...
nothing unique about it, it's a Jeep.
On a different planet.
Space Jeep!
Which apparently has half the oxygen of Earth and freezing temperatures at night, which begs two questions. How is that Jeep still running? And how did any of them survive the night? Because there's a clear... lapse of a day between this episode and the next.
Third, are you sure this planet isn't just Jakku?
Sure.
Shut up, Gar.
Oh.
Oh my god. So Samoa Henshin's also with the golden muscle gear, and his suit is way the fuck cooler.
So sales go for... Oh wait, we don't sell monster toys, never mind.
Yeah. But yeah, so the Rangers are all except Deka Break and
Deka Master.
Basically, Tetsu stays... back on Earth, that way Doggy has someone to help
him. I don't need swap mode.
I'm a Tokyo.
Except when they show up with a swap mode, he's like, oh, I want a power up.
No, you're already a higher rank than us. Let us have something.
Yeah. So, there's apparently a forest on this planet because they get sent on a task to collect a coin. Or wait, I think that might be next episode.
No, basically they all... spread out.
They all spread out to search, and Bon apparently explores Helheim Castle.
No, he did in this episode.
Yep.
And then right at the end, when Bunta's talking to Bond, there's a really fucking creepy shot where he, like, massages the back of his neck while he's telling him that he's a failure. Really fucking creepy.
One thing that, like, boggled my mind was...
Did it boggle your mind?
Yes. When they're on the beach, either A, they put a red filter over it after post.
Yes.
Or B, they put red gel over the lights and the camera lens.
I'm pretty sure it was a filter.
Are you sure? Because what... Like, I think it would have to be a gel, because, like, it... Everything has a red tinge to it.
Yeah.
But everything's still normal colors. I don't know, it could be either or.
It could be. I think it was... I don't think Toei went out of their way to make a set for an entire beach when they have those filming locations anyways.
True.
I feel like they would have just gone to the beach and shot there and then put the filter over it later.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a little cheaper to do it that way.
Cheaper and faster.
Yeah.
Especially with a weekly show going on.
It's a little cheaper.
Dude, can you imagine the producers working on, like, a Sentai? Just day after day having to, like, rush out shit. And then working on movies, like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? I have all this free time.
So, what do you mean we have years to put this together?
So, episode 33 starts after they've survived the freezing night in a fucking tent. Bullshit.
Also, you could...
Unless he was lying about the freezing nights.
He might have been. Just to hurry them along.
And
we only got a day to train.
He's confiscated their uniforms, and there's this really hilarious shot of him, like, dragging their clothes into his tent. And I'm just picturing, like,
no, oh my God. K-9 dragged them in.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm just imagining, like, Bunta's got women's clothes in his tent and he's gonna do stuff to them later.
Oh, no, nothing, and they're like, Roger, and it's like, no, Roger, here, damn it, it's sir, yes, sir.
Sir, yes, sir!
You remind me a lot of the, like, teacher from Attack on Titan. And yeah. Just put the Aunt Fisher Bridge voice in there.
So...
Well, aren't you just a sweet, majestic sweet eagle?
Mother Teresa on the hood of a Mercedes-Benz.
I don't remember the exact quotes. So, Tetsu is looking for the gymnasium material, and apparently their scanner found it inside a Matryoshka pumpkin.
What?
Pumpkin inside
the Russian dolls, pumpkin. But they're smaller inside each other.
And it was a pumpkin.
Yeah.
What?
That was really fucking weird.
Right?
Oh, wait, so
we hid it in a jack-o'-lantern, in a jack-o'-lantern, in a jack-o'-lantern.
Mm-hmm. This was around the time Halloween was about to start.
Okay.
So we get shots of the Decker Rangers in, like, regular-ass SWAT uniforms, like, marching on the beach together, and my brain immediately goes to, I don't know what I've been told! Doggy Kruger's mighty old! And then Paul, who's watching with us, just chimes in, how old? We don't know! That's pretty good, but needs some work.
No, basically, this whole entire,
the whole episode...
Task? Mission?
It was basically to teach Bond not to be a fucking asshole and value the team over his own value.
Yep.
You're not a Kamen Rider, you're a Red Ranger.
Without the others, there is no Sentai.
Pretty much. But in which... And it's like, oh yeah, you guys will get a spaceship to go back to Earth. Well, last time I checked, you blew up the spaceship.
Yeah, but I have another one. Yeah. I mean, I just blew up your luggage, really.
Where's the Jeep? Just Jeep turns into a spaceship.
Oh my God, I couldn't get over how funny it was that Umeko was just constantly spilling herself all over the place.
Oh my goodness.
My frail little body can't take it!
Well, stop! Well, it's your own damn fault for bringing all that shit with you.
Well, I mean, they were all carrying fairly packed backpacks.
Yeah, but she brought all
she brought
of the
snacks
luggage.
And a bath set.
And wasn't willing
oh,
to
yeah,
drop any
Oh, yeah, because she
of
loves
them.
Her baths.
Oh, yeah, she kept mentioning baths, too.
She takes baths a lot. She's supposed to be, like, the sex appeal, kind of. And I guess
being clean is sexy.
She's in... No, there are constant shots of her in a bathtub. And like, rather frequent.
It's a beach planet! You see a tub anywhere!
No, but in which,
well, there's a beach, I guess.
Sure.
I didn't bring a swimsuit, dammit.
Bath equipment sure. in the ocean, but my aunt used to.
Why the fuck not?
But Bond learns the power of teamwork, and then they get their power up for the series.
And apparently the reward for being first is push-ups.
Damn, I don't want to be first. What does the last guy get?
Yeah, so
also push-ups.
Yeah, so teamwork means power-up, but shit's going south on Earth meanwhile.
Yeah. Zotaku and Samoa, in one shot, literally dick kick the fuck out of Deca Break and Deca Master, capture them and put them in a building with a bomb.
I would love to continue.
An exceptionally long timer on it for disarming purposes.
I see they studied under Divatox. Mm.
I would love to continue, but I need to go somewhere.
Okay.
Hopefully I'm back before the end of the episode.
Hi, Gar.
I shall be back. Don't worry.
I noticed that the room where Bon had run ahead to get the coin is the room from the Drive versus Ghost movie where the...
He falls into a fire pit, but then the fire pit magically disappears. What the fuck happened there, continuity?
Disappears. We have a new Garism, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag disappears. Yeah. So, of course, the whole lesson was teamwork, so he approves them to go SWAT mode, and they literally just, a cut later, bust in the wall of the building where they're holding them. They pull off some very interesting teamwork moves. Pretty interesting, actually.
I have to say, I haven't seen this series before. I mean, I know of SPD more so. But I really like the suit designs. Especially on those two, Master and Break, and one who's coming up in a bit.
Yeah. The suits are alright. They're not anywhere near my favorite, but I definitely get what they're going for. But, yeah, it's a very police-themed show with some space and alien elements in it. So, Deca Ranger busts in. We got a very awesome Deca Ranger SWAT mode theme song played throughout this whole sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And they show off the added abilities that the suits give them, including night vision, x-ray vision, and heat vision. And they pretty much bring them down. And we just see Abrera at the top at another building just... Like,
curse you, Deca Ranger SWAT mode! Because I felt the need to add SWAT mode to the end, instead just curse you, Deca Rangers.
Curse you, specifically SWAT mode!
And then spins around and teleports the fuck away. As yeah. he does.
Well, he, like, flies away. So pretty much that's the end of that episode, but Tetsu wants his own power-up after seeing them, because he just can't get enough.
Yep.
So that was episode 33, and then episode 36... is
it's the Deca Swan episode. Yeah.
And it starts with her getting apparently yet another award for being SPD's most brilliant engineer.
And offered the job of their top engineer who designs all of their shit.
At their head office, which would mean leaving them.
Which she isn't gonna do.
So, she does go to the ceremony, though, where we get to see our favorite character, Birdman! A.K.A. The Commander from Danger 5.
Right.
I wish Paul were here for that. And, of course, the minute she leaves, the rest of the Deca Rangers have problems and are whining like little spoiled children. Oh my god, that was annoying. So, we meet the villain of this episode, who is Hymel. A.K.A. What happens when you put a human body on a lunatone.
He kind of looks like Mac Tonight, but from hell. No, wait. Mac Tonight is already pretty scary, actually.
He looks like Moonface from Boos.
I was trying to remember what the character's name was. It's just Moonface.
Moonface.
Of course it is.
Busarenken.
Yeah. This episode also gives us Bunta again, Mr. Monkey Commander
he
Man.
He showed up.
In a monkey suit.
I mean, well, yeah. and we mean a suit, not his birthday suit?
An actual tuxedo suit.
Yep.
Because it's a fancy award gala. Because I guess that's what the police organizations do. So Hymel has apparently kit-bashed a bunch of old giant alienizer robots to make what he's called Frankenzaurus, which is actually pretty fucking amazing.
It is a nice design.
It even has parts from God Pounder, who we talked about last week. still can't believe that's the fucking name of a robot.
God Pounder.
God Pounder. Ah.
Who gives the Deckerangers a shit kicking.
Oh, yeah. Because Swan wasn't around to do maintenance on the mechs, so they were all fucking up.
Yeah. We get to see the Pat Wings, which is like the SWAT Zords. Which are pretty cool, but of course they are still not strong enough because it's powered by the Hymo reactor, which apparently, if damaged, could blow up half the fucking Earth.
Right?
So, why of course.
Did they take it to space?
I don't know.
I mean, they did.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, eventually. So, of course, because she's at this party and they want her to have a day off, we get this annoying and trite side plot of, oh, we shouldn't call her to come back and fix our Zords so she can have a good time. But, of course, it blows up in their faces, almost literally. And she decides to take matters into her own hands and actually goes to where Heimel is.
She finds the signal, follows it, and just walks in solo to tell them the fuck off.
It's amazing. And we get Deca Swan, the full henshin sequence, which is amazing. The suit is actually not much different than her actual undersuit that she's wearing under the jacket.
Legit, after she untransformed, I could have sworn she was still wearing the spandex under her lab coat.
Yeah.
It looks that much like her normal freaking outfit.
And it's pretty much like Deno wing form because it's all elegant and swan-like. And
she used feathers for an attack.
Yeah.
But in SPD, it was a cat.
Because the ears from the front of the helmet look cat-like. That was probably the idea behind her whole cat character, aside from cat girls being a thing.
And there was also dogs, so...
Also to oppose doggy, like just in design. But she does Swan Illusion, in that the illusion is that you are not damaged.
Right.
She does Swan Rainbow, and pretty much just blows up all the mooks.
Oh, Dr. Swan, yeah.
Yep.
Love the design.
I love how Aberrera is talking to Deca Master when he shows up, and he's like, "You, Deca Master, have appeared in person?" And we're just like,
he's like, "Well, yeah, like every episode or two in the last little while."
He's here all the time now.
I mean, where have you been? I mean, you've been around.
Yeah. So, after fighting off the mooks, they go back into the base and they have to disarm the reactor. But it requires complicated calculations.
It requires complicated calculations. Even I, the inventor, can't do those calculations fast enough. And Swan's just like, yo, back up, I got this.
Hold my beer, I got this.
Pulls out Abacus.
With an SPD logo on it.
Right?
A specifically designed SPD Abacus.
Premium.
Drops it on the table and proceeds to do complicated calculation, mathematical equations on an abacus.
Is that even possible?
And Heimel is not... I mean, I'm sure there's a way, but wow, not really.
You have to be eccentric as fuck to be wired up that way, that using an abacus is faster than any other method.
Right? But Heimel is just sitting there like, holy shit, look at that.
He's over the moon.
Look at them fingers go.
No.
You could say she's doing a lot of fingering.
Nope.
So she disarms the core, and then they kick the monster into space, turn into a gun Megatron style, and blast him into fucking dust.
Yep.
It's amazing.
The day is slaved.
Slaved?
Saved.
Garism number 2 this week. And then Heimel tries to kill himself by jumping off a cliff!
That really did happen.
Whoa!
And Swan shuts him down by punching him in the face.
And then Tetsu puts handcuffs on him that don't actually close.
Right.
They just, like, snapped and clicked into each other, but didn't actually...
You're not going anywhere, but here's some cuffs just cause.
Yeah.
Maybe it was some stasis cuffs where it doesn't really, you know, work, but it paralyzes him.
If it, like, showed an effect of that sort, sure, but no, it didn't. And then we get a cock tease in the form of Swan trying... looking like she's going to hug Doggy, but she's really just putting the metal around his neck.
Well, no, not hugging, more of a kiss kind of thing.
Yeah, like she was going in for a kiss.
Has, like, the Vaseline edges on the...
Yeah.
Dreamweaver!
Well, no, then it's like, aww, they're gonna make a cute couple.
Eventually.
In 10 years.
Eventually.
10 years from now. Anyway.
What is this, Zoe 101?
And of course, during the ending, we get Bunta trying to do Swan's speech at the award ceremony and just bites it.
One thing, he
got up to the podium and he's just sitting there. It's just like,
no!
Oh my god!
I wish. I was sitting there every time Bunta was there. I was just like, who is that? I recognize that voice and I don't know why. And I thought, is that Larry? Is it? I looked it up. No, it is not.
But he has done some stuff.
He's done some stuff. Probably the only anime credit me and Paul were staring at that we actually recognized was Thor from History's Strongest Disciple Kenichi, but minor character as fuck in the anime.
Yeah.
I know he's Japanese John Goodman.
Yeah, he does. Oh my he God. Dubs over John Goodman a lot. And
Sully.
Scooby-Doo.
Why does it sound like Scooby-Doo is John Goodman?
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, me too.
God, John Goodman, Scooby-Doo.
But every time Bunta was on screen and he was like surprised or something and his eyes would just open up, it was fucking terrifying.
You're gonna have nightmares about that.
That's the thumbnail.
Oh.
It looks kind of like a Garuma. I mean, a Garuma, no.
A Garuma?
So what do you guys think of these three episodes of Dekaranger?
They're alright.
They're neat.
Better than the ones last year?
Yeah. Hey, I have more context for them this time around, so that's great.
I would actually say I enjoyed last year's more.
Not even.
The Hoji episode was just amazing.
Ah, fucking hate Hoji.
I know I hate Hoji, but that's what makes it fun. It's fun to hate.
Also, I didn't get to mention, but basically, Swap Mode, love their theme song, fucking amazing.
Yeah, we were saying the theme song is amazing.
Oh my goodness, man. Just...
Yep.
So,
yeah,
far more context for what's going on this year, so pretty good.
Well, sadly, we only got one day left of Decassembler
2. And we're doing 10 years after, right?
Finally.
Yes.
Right? Okay, good.
Yay!
Because I was expecting it last year, and it didn't happen.
Yeah, you want to know why?
Star Wars. You weren't here.
Yes.
Wow, it actually has been legit a year since Force Awakens now.
Yeah.
Yes.
More than a year, I think.
In which Anthony cut this.
Why, we're almost done. Finish the episode.
Alright, fine. Never mind, uncut.
So, that's the episode.
Yay!
Thanks everyone for watching, listening, subscribing. The channel hit 100 subscribers!
102!
Yay!
Which
means when their custom URL claiming system stops shitting the bed, we can finally get our custom URL.
Right?
I got a Super Sentai book.
Yay!
It's about Megazords from Go Ranger to now.
Yay! Which means by next year it'll be invaluable.
Motherfucker!
Gar, welcome. You have about 2 months.
Yeah, you have 2 months till that becomes inaccurate.
Still a cool book.
Still a good book. And besides,
you know what you could do? You could put the Cube Zords on it.
They do. They only make this book every five years, so.
Alright, so, as usual, you can find all of our hijinks at castranger.podbean.com. Make sure you follow the Cast Ranger Facebook group for all of our meme-y goodness that we post. Tweet at us at Ixie Studios. And we will see you all next week. For the final episode of Cast Ranger for 2016.
Thank you for having me, everyone.
Yes, you are welcome anytime. And even though he cut out and stopped being audible, Goldcaster was here with us for a time. And thanks to Greencaster for popping in during Extra.
Yep.
Hopefully Pinkcaster's back next week. And Northcaster. I just noticed Northcaster hasn't been on for like a while.
His life has been changing. He's not around as much.
Yeah.
Anyways, thank you all and good night.